So I want you to go to the book of Galatians with me for just a few minutes. Galatians chapter number 6, a very familiar verse of Scripture. Galatians 6, verse number 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. If you have your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Bible says this: "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." This is where I want to get to. "If we faint not." I want to preach asking this question this morning. Are you about to faint? Are you about to faint? Our Heavenly Father, please help us. I just want to come and tell you I need you this morning. Nothing will get done, as a preacher said, unless the Holy One comes down and helps us. I pray that you'd stir the waters this morning. Help us to preach in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. In His name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. To be faint means to be troubled. It means to be tired. It means to be weary. It means to melt. Literally means to melt and to disappear. It means this as well: to become exhausted. Now, as far as I know, when I look around here, look at the crowd today, I don't know if we really necessarily have the problem with the first part of the Scripture, the context where He says, "Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now, I'm looking around and I don't necessarily think that we have a tremendous problem here with that this morning as far as desire is concerned. Now, we're all just men. We have to contend with the flesh, but we all have a desire to sow to the Spirit. And by the way, that's a big S, Spirit. That is the Holy Ghost of God when we sow to the Spirit. And so I don't believe that Paul is saying we're having a problem with becoming tired while we're trying to go along in this earth, and we get tired of just doing reaping to the flesh. But he's saying this: we can become weary in our well-doing. We can become tired in trying to do the things that God wants us to do. And can I say this? I've been there. And I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like also to be restless. And I know what it's like to come to a point where I almost thought that I was about to faint and fall down and be discouraged, if you will. And not only faint, but to be faint in the middle of doing something that I believe that God had desired for me to do. And find myself like Jeremiah. We'll get to him in just a few minutes. God, I've done everything you've told me to do that I feel like, as far as I know, you have told me to do, yet here I am. Jeremiah even said, "Lord, you've deceived me." You know what Jeremiah was saying? Saying, "God, you lied to me." That's pretty stiff words coming from a man, isn't it, to God? And later on, he says there, I decided I wasn't going to preach anymore. But he said, instead of being weary in my well-doing, I got wearied of just not preaching in the Word of God. And His Word was like a fire shut up in my bones. And it helped me a little bit. Hey, he said this: if we will continue in our well-doing, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I want to say this: what can cause us to faint? There's a lack of nourishment that can cause us to faint. The physical realm, of course, if you don't have anything to eat or drink, you're going to find yourself faint. But it also, we also find that in the spiritual realm, that if we don't take in some spiritual nourishment, we're going to find ourselves fainting for the Lord. We need to stop, may I say this, we need to stop operating out of the flesh and stop operating out of the Spirit. Religious fervor can never take the place of personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm well aware of where I'm at. I'm well aware of the ministry. But may I say this? It takes more than soul winning classes and classes on religion to get the job done. And I'm afraid, just to be honest with you, we are leaning more on our education and we're leaning more on going through the motions than we are leaning on the Spirit of God. And if there's one thing I have learned, because I've fallen on my face enough to know this, if you're not leaning on the Lord, you will fall. And you can go through the motions, but it takes the Holy Ghost of God to keep you going, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, have all the classes you want to, but I'm telling you, it takes the Spirit of God. I've discovered this, that if you get a church concerned with the Spirit of God and in love with God, you won't have to have a class. Because they'll go out on fire for the Lord, telling others like Paul did, let me tell you about a son of God who loved me and saved me and gave himself for me. And you'll all of a sudden find out that people won't have to do that. You'll find people that have just been saved for a month winning people to the Lord. Why? Because they're on fire with the Holy Ghost of God. And that's what we need. I find that that's what was missing in our churches today. Boy, I find it's missing in my life. Sometimes we need to walk away from the work and go worship. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes this is a great place. I love Brother McCulley and I look up to him and he's a blessing. And I'm sure there's a lot of responsibility I don't have to worry about. We don't have a school, but he's got a school here. And you've got sick folk. Yesterday I didn't get to come up. I had to go visit a lady in the hospital. And sometimes you have to work and you have to study. I've learned this. Wednesday's coming and Sunday morning's coming and Sunday night's coming. And you've got to engage yourself in the Word of God, and sometimes you have to go out of duty, if you will, to the Word, and sometimes that relationship becomes work, and sometimes you have to put it down and steal away and go be with God alone from everybody if you're wanting to help anybody at all whatsoever. And I believe this with all my heart. One of the reasons why we're not having revival today is not because we don't have more religion or not enough religion. Hey, our radios are full of religion. We've got churches on every street corner. But how many men do we have that are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, that have put their head down in the sand, that have tried to do it on their own and have tried to be popular in what they've done? They've tried to have the crowd instead of have God. I'm telling you, we need to get back to what's important, and that's having a relationship with God. And if you don't have it, I promise you along the way, you will faint in your well-doing. You'll faint if you work out of the flesh. Hey, a lack of nourishment, a loss of comfort. Wouldn't that happen? I'm going to tell you this. Jeremiah was faint. You know, we haven't faced a lot of what Jeremiah has said. Now, preacher, you're going to have to stop me now. You told me 20 minutes. Let me know. Jeremiah, have you ever preached so much that nobody likes you? And I know somebody talks about you, and that hurts. I'm not trying to belittle that at all. And your name is just mud in the county, and people whispering backbite at the church. But as far as I'm concerned, I've never been lowered into the sewer. A loss of comfort sometimes will cause you to faint. But not only that, sometimes a loss of hope will cause you to faint. What do you mean? Well, what about Jeremiah chapter 8? Once again, man, I'm telling you, Jeremiah is a great example of this. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 18 through 20, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is what? Faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? He's questioning this. Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is in it, and we are not saved. What does Jeremiah say? Jeremiah's losing a little hope. Isn't that something? And I'm going to tell you this, that'll cause you to faint. But not only that, I'm going to tell you what else will cause you to faint: your lack of love. Now, this is pretty interesting. In Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 12, I love that, what they call agape love, that unconditional love. It's wonderful, man. Isn't that spectacular? But I want to tell you this. The first place you find agape love is in Matthew 24, verse number 12. You know what it says? And because iniquity shall abound, the agape of many shall what? Wax cold. But we're not ministering in the days of Billy Sunday. We're not ministering in the days of D.L. Moody. Hey, America, it used to be back in the day, even 20 years ago when I graduated, we used to make fun of boys that held hands.
Amen.
Nowadays, if you say anything against it, you're liable to be put in jail or called a bigot. When your government sanctions it, hey, we're living in black, evil, wicked days. And I'm telling you folks, it is easy for us to say this, forget it, Lord, my love is cold. And because your love gets cold and people in your pews are not doing what God wants them to do and you get frustrated. Hey, Brother Ray Bearden told me, he said, Brother Michael, if you're not careful, you'll get the devil in you trying to get it out of everybody else. And if we're not careful, our love will wax cold. I'm just going to be honest. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. But I want to say this. Can I turn a corner for just a few minutes? And I'll be very brief. And I want to say this. How can we keep from fainting? Well, David said this in Psalm 27, verse 13. I'd fainted lest I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to look around. And I guarantee you, if you look hard enough with your spiritual eyes, you'll see the goodness of the Lord. And you'll be able to make... Hey, as a matter of fact, little places like this along the way make your way down to a good old meeting and listen to the Word of God and hear the good preaching like we heard, the good singing like we heard a while ago. Hey, that'll stir you up and you'll begin to say, hey, God's still here. God still loves me. God's still around. And I'm proud of that. I'm thankful for that. I want to say the first thing you need to do to keep from fainting is you need to pray to the Lord. We're going to have to get back to praying. Did you know medically, physically, you know how to keep a man from fainting? The first thing they'll do is they'll tell you, put your head between your knees. Physically. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. Is prayer your first response or is it your last resort?
Amen. Right.
I'm learning. Brother Davis, I don't know all there is to know. But I'm learning here lately, here the last 6 months. If something comes up, Brother Daniel, I'm not going to talk to anybody else. I'm trying to go into Arabia for a little while and I'm trying to tell the Lord about it first. Sometimes I'll talk to my wife, but I'm even trying to get away from talking to her about it first. I want to go tell the Lord whether I get down in spiritual fervor and God rings the prayer bells of heaven. If I'll just find my way down to my prayer place and give 2 minutes, 5 minutes to tell the Lord, God, this is what's going on. This is what I need. God, will you help me? Pretty soon I can get up and God gives the victory over what I thought would be a terrible catastrophe. Just the other day, God helped me with something. I knew something was coming down the pike, and I said, oh, God. You ever get one of those phone calls where you just go, oh, man, golly bum. And so you get that phone call, and you know what I did? I looked at my wife, and I shook my head, but then I said, hold on, honey. I'm going to my prayer place. And you know what? I went to my prayer place. And you know what scripture the Lord gave me there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, I believe. The Bible says this. Moses looked at the children of Israel, Egyptians behind, rocks on every side, Red Sea in front of them. But all of a sudden he said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, quit worrying about it yourself and look at what I'm about to do. We know so much, we're dangerous. Whatever happened to leaning on God and trusting in Him, I have discovered when I've tried to do it myself, I've messed it up. But when God has done it and delivered me, it has been more than my heart could ever fathom or imagine. And I worship Him and bless His holy name. Praise God for Jesus. Hey, it's a lack of prayer. I want to say this to you. Hey, pray to the Lord. There's strength in prayer that will cause you to continue. There's power in prayer that'll cause you to continue. There's power in prayer that'll cause you to be capable. And there's a payoff in prayer if you'll just wait on Him. I want to say this, two, I'm missing a point because I feel like this one's more important. If you're about to faint, this will keep you from fainting. Consider the Lord. You're going to have to pray. But I'm going to have to say this. You're going to have to look at the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what kept Peter from going down in the storm? He just had to keep his eyes on the Lord. When he got his eyes on the storm, you know what happened? Bloop, 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 bloop. Lord, help me. Where did you doubt? Peter probably had to answer, when I took my eyes off you, Lord. Listen, let me give you this for just a few minutes. For consider Him, Hebrews 12:3, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We should consider that Jesus suffered with us. Did you know that? You know what's wonderful about God? He came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh so that He could know as God what it is to be man and to suffer like you. Here's a doctrine for you. This is a rabbit. I'm going to chase it and I'm going to catch it. Did you know right now God in Jesus is sitting at the right hand of throne as a glorified man? He knows how we feel. Consider Him. He knows. Consider that He suffered with us. Consider that He suffered for us. You've not suffered like Christ has. Jesus has got the biggest congregation, I believe, that anybody's ever had. Then all of a sudden He says this, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no part with Me. And all of a sudden His congregation of 5,000 men went down to 12. And He even looked at them and said, will you also go away? And wouldn't you like to have Peter for a deacon? He just said, well, I don't really know what you're saying, but... where else can we go? Isn't that something? You hadn't suffered like Christ. Consider that Christ, because He loved you, He took the spittings, He took the beatings, He took the cross, He took the crown, He suffered and died specific. Now I understand He did suffer for the sovereign, but I'm telling you He suffered for the sovereign so that He could make peace with God and man. He loved you that much. Consider Him when you're about to faint. Consider that He suffered for us. Consider that He suffered more than us. I want to say this. There's the dangers of fainting. If you're not careful, you know what you'll do if you faint? You'll sell out. I like this. Had Isaac, you know, he went back to dig up the wells of his father, his servants did. And he dug one well. And it went good and they got water. Well, all of a sudden, here comes the enemy and they say, move. And they said, well, let's go down here and dig. You know what they did? They didn't give up. They went on down here. And the second time, they found water. And you know what happened? Here comes the enemy again. I mean, third time's a charm. You might be on well one. You might be on well two. But praise God, on number three, you know what happened? They found well, water, and they started looking around. You know what old Isaac did? He said, hey, we're going to name this one Rehoboth because the Lord's made room for us.
Amen.
Don't stop. Amen. Listen to me. There's a bunch of young folks back here. And may I say this? I look around and I see some of the older ones here, and I don't want to disrespect anybody by saying that. You're so much wiser than I. I've learned my lesson, Brother Tim, on that one. But I want to say this. Think about your heroes of the faith. What if they'd have fainted? What if they would have fallen? Brother Davis preached a message the other day that helped my heart. I'm going to tell you this. He said this, when the disciples were around and Jesus said, somebody's going to betray Me, and everybody was asking John, hey, John, who's going to betray? Ask Him who it is. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? John was leaning on Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, who is it, Lord? He didn't have to worry about falling. I hope you don't preach that message today, brother. But he said this, he said,
John didn't have to worry about falling because he was leaning on Jesus. Listen, are you about to faint? Are you about to faint? I'm glad God knows when we're about to faint, and He helps us right on time. Thank you so much, preacher.